You know? Shout out to Dayton police for being like the most fucking it's, by the way, I have to say this, this is fucked up. Holy shit, I didn't even know when I like picked this video. Female cop, gun drawn. Female cop, gun drawn. And dog doesn't get it. Female cop. What? White female cop being most competent cop on this scene? Oh God! Hang on. Female, she showed restraint. How bad is Dayton, Ohio? I'll put my headphones back. Doggo doesn't die. Female cop, gun drawn already, got gun. Female, other ATF, feds would have shot dog. Feds would have shot dog. JB is saying, are we sure this female cop isn't a tranny? That would be the ultimate tranny test. Holy shit, this is
from me like I'm Sega Grammy Lulu, Buzzle, Teddy, Lobo, Diablo, run in the head, it's Rami Gregory, Rami's Razor, cause I ghost y'all. Kill a rapper, be yourself, fuck the close call. Boy, you where to do that at? Where to do that at? You say you spit your poop and thought, where to chew that at? Yo, your pussy look like Shaq, where to screw that at? I got my bounce for the house, just a newfound Zach. What you say, yeah? We go off in the flash, super saiyan. Keep the game fly, boy, we ain't playing. About to fuck the world up, Ronald Reagan. Mama raised the rap king like Angela Bassett. She raised the pop king like Angela Bassett. She never played a rock queen like Angela Bassett. But was rolling on that river like Angela Bassett. Folks ask me, when you gonna put on for your city? I'm the weird guy. People lolly, like they ain't riding with me. They like on my brother.
Made, yeah. And you don't know why those choices were made.
Of course. Yeah. The Comedy Store.
Fine.
That's it. I can't name another word.
I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Well, here's what's amazing about the Gringo Poppy. This is what's truly amazing about it, okay? Yes. You're watching it. And you're in kind of, it's, you're in a little bit of disbelief. Because it is, I wonder, and I know he's trying to get good at stand-up, and I respect the hell out of that. The question is, did it have to be a special?
No.
That's the real question.
No, it didn't.
And I'm not one of these guys who like hates on Brennan.
That's not
like,
shitting
he's
on
a
him.
Nice guy, and I know he's trying to be, you know, like, the question is, with that particular thing, you go, did that have to be?
I said this on Real Ass Podcast. He should have friends going, because here's the thing, he is a charming dude, right?
Yes.
And I think there's probably something that he's probably funny. He probably makes his friends laugh, right?
Yeah, I think that he's really great at podcasting on that specific show for that audience.
Yeah.
Which they want MMA. There's an audience of people in America that want what he does, yeah. And he does it for them. I am not that audience.
Of course.
But that's fair.
And here's the thing. We all go out.
Because I don't care about.
Everyone stinks at comedy for the first 5, 10 years.
20, 30 years.
There's a fucking minimum of 5. If you get good and start getting shit.
Under 5?
5, that's like fast.
It's rare.
That's fast.
One of the only people, Michael Che, who's my best friend. And he's
Pete
one
Davidson,
of the people.
You're talking about guys that like they got like.
It's rare.
Very rare.
Yeah.
Very rare. And you see it and you're like, God damn, dude, those guys got good and they got good fast and they started getting things.
I was pretty rare. I got pretty good pretty quickly. But again, I didn't really pop until I started doing this.
Yeah, of course.
That was what I needed to do.
So, but that's the thing. That's like,
stand-up is kind of gay and stupid.
When we came up, you didn't
stand-up's kind of gay and dumb.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah. It's when I watch Brendan do that, it's like I go, here's a big, tough guy. Well, I should just see in a Ferrari and he should be able to rip people's faces off with his catcher mitt hands. And I see him running around the stage going, I go, you're gay now. Yeah. You've become gay.
Why are you gay? He was a fucking knight.
He was a knight. He's a knight.
And now he's a jester.
Now he's gay.
He's a gay jester.
He's a gay man. He's a fully gay man. When you watch the special, he's like, woo! And you go, what? Why? What is this disease? Maybe this should come out next week.
You're 6'6". You're an Adonis. You could beat up 99% of the people in the world.
You could kill men and fuck women. And you don't have to fuck these skanks at the Comedy Store. Fuck hot women.
Andy Letterman?
What the fuck is wrong with you? And instead he's fully gay on stage in Dallas in front of 45 people being like, the lion is at my door. It's puzzling.
When you don't need it. But that's the thing. I feel bad shitting on his comedy because I don't shit on people's comedy.
No. Me saying you shouldn't be a comedian is the highest respect I can pay you.
Yeah.
If I look at you and go, you shouldn't really do comedy, it's me going, you're better than this. Yeah. I truly believe he's like better than this.
Yeah. We all know.
Until you start to do this.
This was nobody's A plan.
Nobody.
No, I wasn't a little kid being like, dude, I want to fucking dance like a monkey for strangers.
Right.
And
my thoughts on it. Brendan Schaub said he had to take like a week off because his daughter was getting surgery. So he had to cancel a bunch of shows and not do his podcast. But now he's back. Let's check out his announcement.
I had to cancel Austin and Nashville. And usually I hate doing that stuff. It happens. But I think this time I just don't care. That's where I'm at. I gotta be home more. I'm gonna pull back from touring so much, and I just gotta be home, man. I gotta. I can't miss Tigers games. Can't miss my Bostie growing up, baby girl. I can't do it anymore. I'm tired, man. I'm tired. I'm freaking tired. Yeah, I've been hustling for over 12 years now. Not that I'm gonna stop doing the pods, but as far as the plane life and stuff like that, I gotta chill out. I can do spots in LA, I can do local, SoCal, NorCal, but going international or, you know, going across the freaking United States ain't happening right now. So I'm gonna take a break from that and just focus on family and do my thing, man. Do my thing. So yeah, let's get into it. Enough of that.
Okay, so kind of a retirement announcement about doing stand-up. Now, this all comes from he can't sell any tickets. That's simply it. He's not a draw. Even with the Rogan bump, this dude can't sell tickets. And Rogan won't even let him perform at his comedy club. Think about how bad Brendan Schaub is. Rogan will have him on the podcast anytime he wants. Won't even let him do 5 minutes on the Comedy Mothership stage. And he's like boys with Brendan Schaub. He defends Brendan Schaub when Bobby Lee tried to trash him, but he won't even let him sniff that stage. So, I mean, Schaub basically calling it quits. Do I believe him? No, I don't. And here's the reason why I don't believe him. This man needs addies and baddies, and he needs an excuse to get away from that Mexican wife of his. And he, trust me, next month he's going to, oh, I'm back tour or something, and he's going to do 3 shows, sell no tickets, but fly out just to get away from his wife so, and try and meet up with some baddies, because that's what Brendan Schaub does. He never sold tickets anywhere at any time. Yeah, he would still travel to these places and do clubs with 20 people in the room just so he can go hang out and meet up with some baddies. Brendan Schaub quitting stand-up comedy has shocked and made happy the comedy world. Even Chris D'Elia talked about it, so I'm going to play this and give you my thoughts on it. Let's see what Chris D'Elia had to say about his Golden Hour podcast co-host quitting stand-up.
Is Brendan Schaub really quitting stand-up? I don't think he is, but he said he's going to stop doing it for a while because of everything going on with his family. I understand that, dude, actually, because we got 3 kids, and then he had medical issues with his newborn. I'd shut shit down. But since that's not happening, I'll be in Chattanooga and Vancouver. But yeah, dude, that's, hey, if you're making a grip on the podcasts, who cares? Just do podcasts. You don't have to go anywhere. Maybe I'm jealous. That's the thing, dude. If I made, well, obviously I make money doing podcasts, but bro, if I made $100 million, bro, not that he did, but I'm just saying, you'd never see me again, dude. You'd never fucking see me again.
So I like how D'Elia's like, yeah, don't do stand-up anymore. I mean, look, the guy wasn't selling any tickets whatsoever. He kept having to come up with excuse after excuse of why you would have to cancel gigs. And even with this, he came up with an excuse of, you know, I got to spend time with the family. And then instead of just being honest and being like, I can't sell any tickets because I'm not funny at stand-up. And the ultimate problem, too, though, I mean, I get what D'Elia is saying, but Brendan Schaub essentially spends money to do a podcast with the studio and the employees he has to play. Yeah, the employees he has to pay. I mean, if, like I've always said, if he was just like a YouTuber at his house, Brendan Schaub would be making money. But all the expenses, why do you think they keep having to fire interns and stuff? More money is being spent than being brought in. Just go look at the view counts of his videos and stuff. And he, even that, he's like, I'm shadow. He's not shadow banned. It's just nobody wants to watch your content because you're trash. But I like how D'Elia is like, yeah, don't do stand up.
Sorry. And Schaub, yeah, Schaub, yeah. Question. Schaub is, he quit touring.
Schaub retired from comedy, I heard. No, I don't think that's true. No way. That's not right.
Did he quit touring?
Nah, he's got like a sick kid or something like that. So he's like, oh, yeah. No, I saw the video. No, believe me. It's not just that. I'm on the subreddit.
It's not record. Just sick kid?
No, his daughter had a surgery, and honestly, I texted him, dude, sure. God bless him and his family. And
I'm
all
glad
that.
You're shitting on him.
No, I'm not shitting on him.
His daughter's dying. Lewis is like, this guy fucking sucks.
No, that's not true. I like Brendan. He goes, no, I texted him, his kid is having surgery. I asked him, any money in that? But like, no, it turns out no, it just costs money. Dude, I'll give my son surgery. There's money in it? No, I guess his daughter had surgery and he had to cancel a bunch of shows. So he talked about it on his podcast. He was like, I canceled a bunch of shows. And he was like, I didn't give a shit. He was like, honestly, I used to care when I had to cancel shows and I didn't this time. So he said he's going to stop touring for a while.
He's got a sick kid.
But I don't think it was because his kid is sick. I think the surgery was a success. I don't know if the kid's continuously sick.
Yeah, but still, I don't know. Whatever. That went all of that going on.
Oh, look at Dave having a sick kid kinship. All right, Dave, we get it. Your kid was sick.
Yeah, all right. Lewis is gonna start gypsy rosing James. Lewis is gonna take all James' teeth out and put him in a wheelchair.
I need a sick kid. How am I gonna get ahead in this business?
Stupid healthy James, piece of shit. What's my hook?
It's totally healthy. Damn it.
No, I'm not shitting.
Daddy, this powdered sugar tastes funny. Just eat it, boy.
He retired from touring. So he said he was going to do shows in L.A. and around that area, but just not tour.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Nice. If you got the money, do not.
We're all holding in so many jokes. Yeah! But yeah, we'll press on.
Hey, do me a favor. Can you write some AI Brendan Schaub jokes for us? Can we do a new minute of Brendan Schaub AI comedy every week?
He may not be touring, but you know who is?
We're gonna keep Brendan Schaub's comedy alive.
Yeah.
What I want you to know, T-Mike, I want you to feed it both of his comedy specials, and I want you to feed it 500 hours of the Fighter and the Kid podcast.
Oh,
and we're gonna do 1 minute of Brendan Schaub comedy every week and see if we can actually write better Brendan Schaub comedy than Brendan Schaub.
Sorry about your kid, though.
This real is nice, Lewis. I didn't mention his kid. You guys mentioned his kid. I texted him saying, hey, man, good luck with your kid.
All right.
Sure. Hey, man, can I buy your kid on the cheap?
You guys are assholes, dude.
Edit. It's lie detector test time.
First of all, anyone can write better Brendan Schaub comedy than Brendan Schaub. So really not much of a bit they're going to be doing there. But I think Mark Norman summed it up perfectly when he was like, we're all holding in so many Brendan Schaub jokes. The fact that these guys still have to walk on eggshells when discussing Brendan Schaub, all because of Joe Rogan, which they're all happy to do quit comedy because he's not really a comedian and they don't really like him, but they have to pretend that they do in order to stay in Joe Rogan's good graces. Although Rogan won't even let him perform at his own comedy club. So I wonder how much Rogan cares if they just go like full out and trash him. But Bobby Lee tried bringing up that joke and Rogan immediately was like, whoa, no, Sean really, you knocked out Crow Cop. So, and obviously they can sense still behind the scenes, oh, we can't really go too hard on Schaub because Rogan will have a problem with it. Lewis is still openly making fun of him, which is hilarious, but the other guys are still holding back. But, I mean, even Lewis said, no, this is more than just, he's not going to just stop doing comedy for a while. Because even Schaub was like, people are saying I retired from comedy. I didn't. I'm still going to do sets at the local thing. And it's like, dude, are you? Look, we know you need an excuse to get away from the wife and have some addies and baddies, but you can't sell tickets. It's sad. You're not, and they're only allowing you to do sets because, once again, you're Joe Rogan's friend. If you didn't have that card, they wouldn't even allow you to do that. But
hell yeah,
that could be our fan base, dude.
Let's poach them.
You want to poach them?
I mean, I would. Yeah.
We hell should. Yeah.
I mean, dude, that whole subreddit is dedicated to just hating on that podcast. And I know
I looked into it more.
You think they're razzing them?
There's definitely some real hate.
Yeah,
but there's also definitely like, this is funny.
This razzing the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily all bitter
hatred.
True.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much dedicated towards being like...
Yeah. They don't post, like, funny clips. They post just, like, him f***ing up.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about last week. How it's funny now that that's a whole thing in and of itself. Like, we're going to meet every day and just completely f***ing try to tear this dude down. And, you know, of course, they're razzing him. But yeah. It's still like, dude... I'm looking at that being like, I would like to think I'd be able to take that day in and day out, but I would bend to the mob. I'd be like, I'll do whatever. Stop making fun of me.
Yes. I would bend to that
14,000 people.
They're homeless cats, dude.
It's an entire city dedicated.
They're called homeless cats.
I know. Yeah, because they made fun of. Yeah.
Beasts, dude. I'm all in.
Yeah, these guys get it. And that's what makes this so interesting to listen to because, again, this was over 4 years ago and a lot of things have changed for Shane over that period of time, which I've documented on this channel recently, particularly with regard to Shane's appearances on Flagrant with Andrew Schultz. but we just heard them talking about how if they were in the same position, they would have caved to the mob and begged to be released from their grip, and that was only when there were 14,000 members. And in this next bit, Matt breaks down exactly why this all started in the first place, so let's hear from them first, and then I'll break it down even further.
I watched that whole incel documentary about...
The guy that made that a documentary about...
Yeah, so I know exactly what's going on in that subreddit. So I watched that documentary, and then I went to the subreddit, and I'm like, whoa, dude, there's like a whole space where you can just act this
shit. There's a whole subculture of these people.
There's like a small city worth...
14,000, yeah.
A small city's worth of people, like a rural town's worth of people who are dedicated towards like watching your every move. And the sin they're punishing him for is taking that like kind of elitist attitude towards his fan base. He was kind of like, you guys are losers, I'm killing it. They were like, dude, we'll hive mind make fun of you. It's like, dude, I would instantly cave.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I'll quit. You guys. What'd you say?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Dude.
World Star Hip Hop.
He's quickly becoming the persona non grata, dude.
Brennan Schaub said that, I don't know if this is true, if he said that he's cheating on his wife, that is. Whoopsie.
Yeah, play the clip.
Well, all right. I don't know if you can hear it.
Listen, I know some bald dudes are slinging out there. Look at Dana White, Rogan. That's it. Look at Dana White, Rogan. That's it.
Oh.
Whoopsie.
How would he know he's slinging dick to his wife, dude? You know what I'm saying?
What are you saying? Like,
what married guy, like, yo, that dude's slinging dick to his wife and his wife alone.
Maybe he's... saying he could.
Or he could be talking about stand-up.
But as soon as he said it, you could see his face like, oh, fuck. Yeah, all you gotta do is say, oh, is that live?
What was he doing live, The Breakfast Club?
It was the Sting and the, I don't know, it was him and Theo Von. Oof.
Probably, dude. Oh, it's probably a live video. Live,
you just threw your fucking...
But I mean, if he might have been talking about stand-up. Sometimes they say like, he's out there slinging. No,
Dana White. He's talking about bald guys that get pussy.
Oh. Fuck. Dude, this just in.
Well, Rogies can fucking... You can deny that. That's an easy one. That's because we don't know. You know.
What that the setup is?
That intention? Like, Schaub's intention there? Maybe he just meant, like, if he could get, like, you know? Maybe he didn't mean slinging, like, actually fucking...
Also, that's... What the fuck's he... How does he know Dana White's slinging... I mean, yeah, I'm exactly. Sure he's partied.
I think he just made, oh, well, because he's UFC.
He's probably partied with
him.
Yeah,
he definitely knows.
Does he mean he has a hog, or is he saying he's getting tons of... I mean, you could safely assume anyone who's making millions of dollars is getting...
Yes.
Yeah. That's, dude, that's like a... But he really is like, fuck.
His face is like...
Oh, man, that is classic bopper, just saying words without thinking. But the best part of this episode was what came after that, because Matt and Shane start joking around about how Brendan is low-key trying to get Rogan back for screwing him over. This is pretty funny. I'll have a bit more to say in a moment, but check it out first so that we can break it down afterwards.
Rogi's destroyed him.
Yeah, he was like, don't do a stand-up special, dude. You're not good enough yet.
No, I think he just... Oh, did he say that to him?
Way back when, he was like, I'm telling you, man, you don't want to do that. You're not ready to do an hour yet. He's like, you haven't been doing it long enough. And that's why he, like, titled it, like, Could You Believe It? Or, like, it was basically a title being, like, You Couldn't Even Believe It.
Nobody could stop me.
Yeah, dude. He's got a weird hang-up on Rogues, because Rogues...
Well, Rogues... I meant Rogues. Did you ever see him, like, talk him out of UFC?
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, hard to
watch.
That's like a mean one.
Well, that's what he was saying is, like, the genesis of his stand-up career, where people were like, yo, you're too funny to be getting punched in the head, bro. But Rogues was like, yeah, you're not. He's like, dude, I'm watching fighters. Like, you don't stand a chance. You're getting old. You got to figure. He was basically just saying, like, get and do something else. You're going to be punched.
I know. It was kind of nice, but while the guy was a fighter, it's just like...
Yeah.
You got to be close friends to hit him with that, and you don't do it publicly. Like, on air, bro, you're washed up. Like, that's like a... Or, like, you're soft. You don't have that fight in you. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, but he's a... I mean, me and Rogan are martial artists. So, like, that's just how... We're blunt with each other. We're blunt with other martial artists. I would have said the same thing. I would have been like, yo, bro, this isn't for you. Leave it to... Let the fight to me and Rogies, dude. Dude, why do you
would
do
you
that?
Rather win the Hold Super on, Bowl, be MVP, or be on Saturday Night Live? I'd pick Saturday Night Live.
Wow, really?
Now, I just...
Oh, but my...
my heart and my passion was Saturday Night Live. Mm. I was obsessed with
comedy. So it
was SNL. Robin, my mom would, every Saturday we'd watch SNL, and she always had me watch Robin Williams, so.
She loved comedy.
She loved it. That's where I got my humor from.
My mom always gravitated towards me doing, you know, acting and comedy, and, you know, Saturday Night Live was like our North Star. Still is. Still my golden hope.
Like that young, she was...
That young, it was Robin Williams. My heroes growing up were Jim Carrey, Adam Sandler, and then on.
It's not the. Sorry, it's yeah. fine. I never like thought I'd get SNL or like wanted it.
Right.
So it wasn't like, oh, my dreams are destroyed.
Right. It was a surprise.
It was just like, oh shit, nice, I got something. And they're like, no, you don't. I was like, all right, back to what I was doing.
Yeah, he kind of doubled down. If anything, he should, and I've said this from the jump. He should have been fired for having a bad podcast. The problem is it wasn't funny, and it was like reckless, and I get it just wasn't funny.
That we've been doing this for over 12 years.
Over 12 years.
We've had an amazing run.
You're slowly morphing into a camel.
Yep, and we've had an amazing run, and I think everything does come to an end.
It does. You know,
everything ultimately comes to an end, except for Fighter and the Kid, because we're never stopping this. We're going to do this until when I'm 70, when I'm 80 and I have to take my dentures and take them out of a glass on the show.
I'm gonna ride. I'm gonna ride you like a desert camel, dude, till the end.
You know what? I hope I outlive you because.
Oh, you will.
You know what I mean? I'm gonna be an old. You're gonna see me caressing your dying face, and I'm gonna be like, shouldn't have done so much of all the stuff you did.
Just all the stuff.
You're just big. You had a good run. You were big. But big dogs die early.
What a weird. It's weird. I mean, but that's probably
no.
Them.
The way you said
that's,
it.
That's them.
The way you said it sounded like we were ending. When you made that announcement.
It was also at 6:30 in the morning.
I know, but have more animation. Don't be as puffy in your face.
No.
You sucked in that.
No.
You were not good. I even told him. I left him a meme. I was like, hey, dude, be a little more animated. Like, I hated your stupid announcement. And it sounds like you're saying.
Brian wanted me to be like, whoa, hey, kids, Fire of a Kid.
Well, everybody thinks you quit comedy, and everybody thinks you quit.
That. How about that went viral?
On Bloody Elbow.
Well, they're the ultimate trolls. They're just trolls. Okay. I don't mind them, but they do. Yeah, I'm not quitting. I'm not going to Toronto. I'm not going to the East Coast. I have a set next week. We have a show in August. I'm sorry, in Austin.
We have a show February 15th.
One live
show with probably some very special
big guests. Fire and Kids going
all
live.
I'm saying.
It's one night only. One show.
Vulcan Gas Company.
The Mothership Stepmom.
Yeah.
We're at the Vulcan Gas Company at 10 p.m., one show only, Fire and Kid live.
10 p.m., one show only.
We have a residency there.
Once a month, Fire and Kid live. The energy, the comedy energy is in Austin, no matter what people say. Thank you to Joe Rogan and a lot of other people. So there's a lot of...
The energy's where we go, Brian.
Thank you. We'll see.
Yeah, I know. The energy's a little low right now, but you're older, so I'll take it.
A couple of old guys.
Yeah. But I, I don't even see how that makes the rounds. Because if you listen to the pod, Chin was there. Chin, did you ever hear me say I quit comedy?
No.
I said I'm taking a break. I'm juggling too many things and the road beats.
When he says a break, though, it's 5 years.
See how much Joe Biden flipped out.
Why don't you believe?
for the pod.
I rest my case.
You changed your story to look innocent for the pod. Nigga, we've had this conversation about this bitch.
I rest my case.
JVP, JVP, where would you be without JVP?
Talk about this shit on the pod.
I rest my case. I totally rest my case. I don't even have these talks. I didn't have these type of talks with nobody but him.
Bro, you brought this shit up, bro.
Yes.
You bought, so stop saying I don't have these talks if you bring it up.
It's funny to me until I know that you have true emotions behind this. Yeah. You just screamed to the top of your lungs.
And you didn't let me finish. Nigga, you were screaming off mic.
You're still not letting me finish.
You were screaming off mic, beating the tables and all that dumb shit. And then you try to make me look emotional for the pod. Bro, stop.
I'm not done with myself.
Stop.
Screaming to the top of your lungs that I shouldn't have kissed the girl. And you're trying to say that you don't have emotions behind
it. I don't give a fuck about that girl.
Then why'd you just say it?
I'm asking you a question.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Now, this is where you get goofy. Nigga, you know me for a long enough time to know I don't give a fuck about that girl.
I don't know.
You do know.
Niggas give a fuck.
You do know. Now you love
me. I would hope that you don't.
I'm asking Joseph Anthony Button Jr., does Antoine Murray give a fuck about that girl?
I said I don't know.
No,
I'm saying no.
No,
but he asked me,
girl.
I know.
He's lying.
I'm just
lying.
2024,
I want everybody to know on the world, these conversations don't be about a girl.
It's the principle.
It don't be about a girl. It's be about the niggas saying that they don't do something or they do something.
An example,
it's not standing on what they say they do or don't do. That's what these conversations
the example
be about.
Because the woman he's talking about is from the sewer like Das Effects. I do not know her from you, nigga.
No.
I don't know her from you. I'm sorry. Other niggas had your bitch outside.
It wasn't my bitch.
Then shut the fuck up in 2020.
You sound stupid. You sound stupid. It's not my bitch. You sound dumb, my nigga. All this performative shit you doing, it sounds stupid. My nigga, like, again, we talk about what we would and won't do.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
And then when niggas contradict themselves, what they do is move the goalposts to justify them saying I would or wouldn't do something.
No, you're moving it because you're emotional.
I'm not.
I think you are. I'm entitled to my opinion. I think you're emotional. You're sweating. Your face is red.
I'm not sweating at all.
It don't matter. That's what I think.
You just do something. So you're not emotional? You've been beating shit off, Mike. So that's not performative for the pod. You smacking me fucking about to break the marble. Who's emotional here?
People that I love.
Who's emotional? Nah. Who's emotional here?
Oh, we are. I end with this. The people that
I love this pod.
The people that I love, I don't talk about who they kissed 15 years ago. I don't. You sound nuts to me.
I didn't even bring this topic up.
All right. That was hilarious. Obviously, they're arguing about some shit, but I don't know whose side I'm on because I don't know the full story. But Joe Budden was obviously lying there. Him flipping out, saying the issue, getting emotional, and he's flipping out, throwing stuff, scared Melissa Ford. He goes off camera, he's hitting stuff. But I love it when they get in these loud shouting matches on Joe Budden's podcast. It's hilarious to me. But Joe Budden's that guy who's like, you're being emotional when he's extra over the top, flipping out. Probably because what Ish said was right. Like, dude, you've already admitted this stuff before. So now you're saying something different on the podcast. I'm kind of just believing Ish on this. And Joe just flipping out and acting crazy kind of confirmed what Ish was talking about. But, I mean, are they going to have to hire security for in there? No. But they're friends and they've been friends forever. So you know how... probably had a bunch of arguments like that with each other. They know it's never going to get actually physical or anything, but just hilarious how mad Joe got. He's just like, why are you still talking about it in 2024 then? He threw half of his equipment. It's his house though, so I guess he could do that, but pretty funny to me. I mean, and was Ish being light-skinned? I know he's pretty light-skinned in general, but Joe was saying it as, you know, a behavior. Was Ish being light-skinned? He asked him, why are you being light-skinned right now? Pretty funny.
Oh.
bye.